Hi, this is Lynn Cohen with Designs to Grow Coaching and Training. Today I'm interviewing Michael Linenberger, who is the author of 6 top-selling productivity books, including Master Your Workday Now and Total Workday Control using Microsoft Outlook. The latter continues to be the number one best-selling book on Microsoft Outlook. Michael's latest book, The 1-Minute To-Do List, is destined to be a classic. Michael is called the efficiency guru by business leaders and the media for his revolutionary common sense approach to workplace productivity. So welcome, Michael, to the call, and we're so excited to hear what you have to tell us about your new book.
Thanks for having me, Lynn. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk about it.
So let's start off. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then after you do that, give us kind of a summary of your new book?
Sure. Sure, let's do that. So I've been in the business world for decades and decades. The most recent major thing probably I was a vice president at the big management consultancy company called Accenture, and you know, I led the Project Management Center of Excellence at AAA, and I was the IT director at U.S. Peace Corps, and I've just done a lot of business things, some technology related, some management consulting kind of thing related, and over the extent of that, I just found that you know people. We're overwhelmed. We're getting especially more and more overwhelmed these days. And so with all the work that's coming at them, especially with email and all the other ways that we have to communicate so quickly. So I decided we needed a solution because my own team was suffering. I was suffering. I could see that it was not a happy picture out there with how hard people were working and not really getting as far ahead as they could. So I developed a system to get ahead of out-of-control tasks, out-of-control email. And, you know, there's a number of trainings out there, but I tried them all. I didn't feel that they worked in today's modern workplace where email is so prominent as a place to get new sources of requests for action. So I developed a system, and I implemented it first in Outlook, and that book quickly became the number one best-selling Outlook book, and I continue to revise it. The third edition of the Outlook book just came out a couple months ago. And I give trainings on that, corporate seminars and trainings. But the thing I was noticing was that, you know, it takes some time to learn a complete Outlook study. And Outlook's not a real, real simple piece of software. And so, you know, my classes often lasted 6 hours. And there was a gap. There are people who said, no, I don't want to study for 6 hours. I want a quick solution that I can use. And so I came out with this new book, just came out in October, called The 1-Minute To-Do List. And in that book, I tell people how to get a to-do list together using my principles. You know, you really can get the first draft in under a minute, and they're nifty principles. They're really useful. They're different from anything you've heard before, and so it's been great to be able to get that out to so many more people and get them started so much more quickly. And then for those people that you know, use it and like it and then say, well, you know, I've got too many tasks. And I say, well, then, yeah, you can upgrade to the more complete system that I teach, but let's get you started in a simple way. And so that's what I do.
Great. So can you give us just some of the basics of a 1-minute to-do list?
Yeah. So the way it works is it's based on something called urgency zones. And that, I talk about urgency zones in all my books, including you know, the Outlook book and the one, in fact, one that you and I talked about, I think, a year ago, Master Your Workday Now, a book that I wrote about a year ago. That's a common theme, that we've got there's different ways activity requests impact us. When you get a request to do something, it can send you off in a tizzy because it's so urgent, or it might be something that's not due for a while, but you're worried that you're going to forget about it, so you want to track it. Each one of those kinds of requests that you get have what I call a different urgency zone. They exist in a different urgency zone. And so I teach people these 3 urgency zones. The 3 of them are called critical now, opportunity now, and over the horizon. And each one requires a different level of management intensity to keep under control. And what I have people do is sort as tasks come in, and we get so many in per day, we get lots of new tasks, particularly by email. As you know, little requests, big requests come in, segment them into each of these 3 urgency zones, and then manage each one differently. And that's what this to-do list does.
So I'm just curious. When I was reading the book about the difference between urgent and important.
Yeah.
So the critical now is kind of the urgency zone, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a long-standing conversation and discussion, and it gets almost philosophical. You know, what is the difference between importance and urgency? And shouldn't we be focused on importance more and not urgency? I mean, that's a common theme that you'll see in a lot of time management training. You know, don't get all spun up on urgency. Make sure you focus on your important work first. And I totally agree with that. But what I've found is that so many of us are so buried by urgent items that we never get a chance to really sit back and take that breath and go, okay, what's really important that I do today? We're constantly in reaction mode. And so what the one-minute to-do list does, the to-do list system that's featured in this book, is that it's actually an urgency-based system. Now, a lot of people say, well, wait, aren't we supposed to kind of not focus on urgency and focus more on importance? And I say, yeah, that is ultimately what you're supposed to do. But if you don't get urgency under control, you're never going to get to your important work. So this is a purely urgency-based system that segments work into urgency levels and then allows you to get control of it so you can then step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, this is under control. Now, what do I really want to get done today? What's really important to get done today? So really all those levels are levels of urgency, all three of them, critical now, opportunity now, over the horizon, just different levels of urgency.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think that some to-do lists not work, because yours does make a lot of sense. I mean, I really love what you're offering here. Why does the average to-do list not work?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, first of all, the main reason anybody who automates a to-do list fails, and that's, you know, we're all tempted to do that now. We've got tablets and laptops and smartphones, and they've all got task software on them or to-do list software, and so one of the first things people think, in fact, this is how many people justify spending the $200 for a fancy phone. They say, oh, look, I'll get my tasks all organized and I'll be ahead of it. The trouble with those things, with any computerized task list, is that the list gets too big too fast. And the reason it gets too big, and then we stop using it because it's just, you know, you get hundreds of items on there and you don't know, they all look like they're important to do. And the reason it gets too big too fast, number one, is These automated lists don't forget. You know, that's the trouble with the computer. You write something down and it's always there. The nice thing about a paper to-do list is that you lose it periodically and you have to start over again. And that's a good thing because we collect so many old things that end up being dead after a while, but that we just hang on to them. The other reason why most to-do lists fail is that they don't come up with a clear, unambiguous measure of what's important and what's not, what you should do now and what you don't need to do. There's no, you know, you've probably seen them there, you know, a lot of them have you prioritize 1, 2, 3 or A, B, C, and then 1, 2, 3, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways of prioritizing. The trouble with that is there's no real clear distinction of, hey, so what is a high priority? What does high priority mean? What is important? What does importance mean? And there's so many different ways that you can look at any given task and say, yep, that's important to me. I bet you just about every task on your list, there's some way that you could say, yeah, that's a really important task. Well, now every task on your list is important. And you know the old saying, if everything is important, nothing is. And then if you just try to randomly sort them, well, maybe this one's more important than that one and try to ramp. You know, that gets old and it doesn't work and you give up on the list because you realize it's not getting your urgent items done. It's not really showing you what the most important items are. So the beauty of this one-minute to-do list is it has a real simple, real clear, unambiguous question that you ask when you decide whether to put it in the high priority section. And that question is this task absolutely positively due today? And if it is absolutely positively due today, it goes in the high priority section. If it's not, it does not. And, you know, that's so simple, it's just so obvious, but nobody does that. They start putting things in there that just seem, you know, quote, important, or I'd like to do that. And so your high priority section gets too big, and then it becomes useless. So that's one of the few things in the system that make it so much more powerful and finally workable compared to other to-do lists.
Yeah, I think you say in your book about that, if it's something that you feel you would actually stay after work for or stay up until midnight to do, then that belongs in the critical? Is that
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, you know, whenever I teach this class, the first thing that happens is I say, hey, okay, experiment with this a little bit. Let's fill in the list. And within half an hour, they, you know, a lot of people have 20 items in their high priority. They say, no, no, look, you can't do that. That's too many items that makes that section useless. Tell you what, use what I call the going home test to prevent yourself from putting too many items in the high priority section. And the going home test is just what you said. Ask yourself, hey, would I work late tonight? Would I stay up till midnight tonight if this item were not done? And if the answer is no, it's not that critical that I'd stay after work till midnight, then don't put it in your high priority section. Those are things that would keep you from leaving work. And that's it. Yeah, that's a real stringent definition, and it's amazing how well it works at keeping the list under control. On many given days, I don't have anything in the high priority section, which amazes people, but it's appropriate. You need to really clearly identify those things that will keep you from going home and put those at the top and don't list them if they don't exist.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked a little bit about the critical now. Can you talk a little bit about opportunity now,
that
portion of the list?
Yeah, so that's the second section down. So critical now is absolutely due today. Opportunity now are those items that you would like to do today but that wouldn't keep you from going home. You would work on them. They're not critically due. You would work on them if you had the opportunity right now in your day to do it. That's why they're called opportunity now. You'd work them if you had the opportunity. So the things you'd really like to do today, or maybe they're due tomorrow but not today, and so maybe you want to get ahead of them a little bit today or keep your eye on them just so they don't get out of control. But I do put a limit on that. It could be done tomorrow, the next day, a little bit further out, but I say no later than 10 days, approximately 10 days. So between tomorrow and 10 days are when you'd really like to get to those items. That's called the opportunity now list.
Okay. And then the third portion was over the horizon.
Yeah. So the place that 10-day comes from is that I've done experiments with you know, I get in front of a group of people and I play with them a little bit, and I ask them questions about how urgent their tasks are and what kind of things would keep them worried about work and what kind of things they don't worry about. And in doing that, I've found over and over again that people stop worrying about what's on their plate if the item is due 10 days out or more. Now, that's approximate. I mean, it's like about a little over a week, a little under 2 weeks. At that point, if the item is due after, say, about 10 days, they tend to worry a lot less about it, and I call that your concern horizon. It's your concern horizon. What are you concerned about? What concerns you that's on your list? And at what point in time do you stop being concerned about it being due? 10 days tends to be it. So that's a very interesting thing, and it's a very useful thing to know. And so there's this third urgency zone called over the horizon, or so over the concern horizon, where you can place tasks if you want them out of sight, out of mind, if you want to put them there where they won't bug you, they won't kind of freak out because you feel like you have too many. This is where you store your excess tasks and then check in on them once a week. You know, if they're not due for 10 days or more, then checking in every 7 days is a nice safe cycle to go look at those and say, hey, has anything here become more important, or can I let it sit for a while longer? And that's what that over the horizon zone. It's kind of a storage place for all your things that you just can't focus on now and you just want to get them off your main list, sort of out of sight, out of mind. It helps clean up the main list, that the critical now and the opportunity now become your main focus areas for daily work, and the opportunity and the over the horizon is a place to place things for later review.
Mm-hmm. And how often should people look at their to-do list?
Great question. Yeah. You know, any system that you use to get control of your work better not be so busy. It better not make you more busy than you are just to keep up with the system, right? It needs to be lightweight and simple to use. So that's the beauty of the urgency zones. As I say, look, each urgency zone has its own review cycle, it's a natural frequency with which you need to check in on it. And so it's a real easy one to remember for the 1 minute to-do list. It's basically 1 hour for critical now, 1 day for opportunity now, and 1 week for over the horizon. So that's how you break it down over those three zones. And 1 hour for critical now, you know, it's approximately, of course, but the idea is that, hey, these are the things that are going to keep you from going home. These are really, really urgent things, and some of them may be kind of time sensitive, that, you know, maybe you have to make a phone call to somebody who's on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, you got to get it done before, you know, 2 o'clock or something like that. Some of these may be time sensitive, so you want to check in on that list quite frequently to see if anything there is coming due. And so I say approximately once an hour. And you know, and get them done early so that you don't have all your urgent must-do-today items pile up at the end of the day and keep you from leaving work on time. So check that about once an hour. And then the opportunity now, remember, those are things that are not urgently due today, but some of them may be due tomorrow. So check that at least once a day so that you can catch anything that may be coming due soon. And but that's, you know, once a day, that's not bad. It's not a bad, that's a pretty low maintenance. And then over the horizon, check that once a week because those are 10-day cycles. And so, you know, if you check it once a week, you'll catch anything that's about to cycle there. And that's pretty light. That's a lightweight system if you think about it. It's pretty easy to use, pretty lightweight, which is one reason why most people can keep up with it.
Now, what have you noticed? Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. What have you noticed from the people who you have seen move to this kind of one-minute to-do list versus maybe just having a list of things they had to do? What are some of the results you have seen?
Well, the main thing is that there's a sense of relief. There's a big sense of relief because if your to-do list doesn't work, you stop using it. And if you stop using a to-do list, then you default back on using your memory for trying to track what you need to get done, or what a lot of people do is they end up using their inbox as their task list. You know, they get all these email requests in, and then they leave them in the inbox and say, well, I'll just look through there and find the requests I have. And that drives you insane, as you might know. So once you get a to-do list that works in place, and because this is one that's so simple and so intuitive, it does work, and it keeps working. Because once you get a to-do list that really works, then you can rely on it, and you know that, hey, you know, if I need to figure out what the next thing I need to do, what do? I just look at this list because it works. I can rely on it. And that leads to a huge sense of stress release because I think it's the to-dos that you can't remember that cause the most psychological and stress damage because, you worry about the unknown, right? When you get this background feeling, hey, I've got 5-10 things due today. I can't remember what they are, but I just have to work as fast as I can to try to get everything done so I don't miss anything. That's a terrible feeling when you can't really focus in on the few things that are really due and then relax on the other ones that aren't really due. And so, yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I would imagine when you're focused on trying to remember, you don't have that energy to actually put into the tasks. So
I call it swimming with the sharks. When you're in a muddy water and you can't see the sharks, you're nervous all the time because they're gonna, you know, they could come from anywhere. But if you're up on the boat and you can clearly see where everything is, then you're cool, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend? I mean, we have so many emails coming into the inbox that are action emails. And we've got this to-do list, but now we've got this whole other section of action tasks that we need. Is there a way to integrate your email with this to-do list?
Yeah, definitely. I teach this kind of in the latter parts of my classes, but it's so important. It's so incredibly important. First of all, we want one prioritized list of to-dos so that you always know where to look next for your next most important action. And if you leave email actions in your inbox and rely upon scanning through your inbox for, you know, deciding what your next action is, you've now got two places that you're storing priorities. And the inbox is a horrible place to use as a task management system because there's no way to prioritize it and sort it. And, you know, they just get scattered in there and it becomes a huge mess. So I teach people, look, you know, and this is why people spend hours and hours a day working on their email, and then they finally get to their real work about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, which is ridiculous. That's a horribly inefficient use of your time. I say, look, immediately when you see an email, instead of spending 20 minutes doing it, doing what may be your lowest priority action for the day, but just doing it first to get rid of it because, you know, it'll drop down in your inbox and you'll never see it again until you do that archaeological dig weeks later to go look for these things. Instead of doing it right away, put it in your prioritized list. Put a notation for it in your prioritized list and then work on it in priority order. And guess what? It may be that it's not proper and appropriate for you to do it right now, but if it's on your list, at least you get to it in the right order. Now, the problem with that is, you know, how do you put emails on your list? Well, you can't, you know, the 1 minute to-do list, I start out teaching people how to do that on paper. That's the first part of the book. And it's real simple. And you can make a, you know, a little pencil notation on paper for an email, just put maybe part of the title and the date or something like that. But that gets old after a while. So in the second half of the book, I teach people how to put the 1 minute to-do list on their computer, and then I show them how to actually link emails into the list so that there's a clear link and you can go see the information. It depends what software you're using in Outlook. It's really, you know, really easy. There's other software I show you how to do it. And so, yeah, immediately when you get an action in your inbox, immediately, instead of wasting time doing low-priority ones now, spend 10 seconds, convert it into a task, get it in the prioritized position on your to-do list, and then work your to-do list in priority order instead of working your lowest priority items first, which is what many of us are doing when we're spending so much time in our email.
And you go into that in the book. You give some great recommendations for how to do that, too, in more detail.
Yeah. There's, you know, it depends what software you use. And I give two main ones in the book. But you know, depending on which one you're using, there's real simple ways to hold on just a sec. Excuse me, I had to cough there. I muted just in time, though. I give real simple ways to, I show real simple ways to just convert an email into a task. It just takes a couple seconds. And it's amazing how much control that gives you over your inbox. Suddenly the inbox isn't this out-of-control monster. It's like when you get the emails converted into a task, it becomes this little pussycat that you can easily file stuff away and delete things. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm. So I want to step back a second. There was something on page 35 that you talked about that I really liked. You talked about next actions. And, you know, write only the next step. So versus writing performance review, you're saying write scheduled dates of performance review. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I thought that was really important.
Yeah. And first of all, let me just give credit where credit is due. David Allen, author of the book Getting Things Done, is the guy who brought this idea of next actions back to the forefront. It's been in the time management world for decades and decades and decades, but it kind of got lost. The idea got lost, and he brought it back, and I just want to give him a lot of credit for that. So the idea with next actions is this, that if you write down on your task list something that's too big, like you said, performance reviews, or I use a personal example, landscape garden, if it's too big, you'll skip over it every time. You will skip over it every time. And I found that myself, you know, I'd had these big chunks of things on my to-do list that just never got done. And it's because, you know, if it's big like that, it takes too much of a commitment of activity to, you know, I'm not going to stand up and landscape my garden at 2 o'clock in the afternoon just because I saw it on my list. And so the idea is identify what the next, very next step that you can take to progress that larger thing forward and write that down. And so for performance reviews, that's a big thing, you know, doing performance reviews. That's a huge thing. But just identify the very next step, and it could be that the very next step is scheduling them. So write that down on your to-do list. Now, that means whenever you write a kind of a big task down, you need to stop for a moment and say, okay, now what is the very next step that I need to take? And you know, take some moments sometimes to think about that. But, yeah, that's really important, writing those next actions down instead of the bigger ones that then end up getting stuck on your list.
So in your book, you talk about significant outcomes. What are they?
Yeah, so here we are. We've got this to-do list that's called the one-minute to-do list, and it's all about getting control of urgency, and it's all about getting control of all these incoming tasks that are coming at you quickly and sorting them based on urgency and attacking them based on urgency. And, by the way, they're mostly next actions, as we just talked about, which means small next steps that will perhaps make progress on bigger things. And somebody should at this point stop and say, well, okay, so you're managing all these little urgent things, but what about the big things that you want to get done? What about important things, not just urgent things, but what about big, important things? How do you put those in your list? And you know, it comes down to this argument or discussion that we talked about earlier about the difference between urgency and importance and how this to-do list truly is an urgency-based to-do list. So what do you do about the important stuff? Where do you show that? And I say, yeah, you should show it. Just don't put it in this list. Put it in a separate section that I call significant outcomes. And those are just, you know, think to yourself, what are the two or three or four big things, the big outcomes that I want to accomplish this week at work? And put those above everything else. And on the paper list, I have it in a little section above the urgency zone section called significant outcomes. And in Outlook, I show a different way to do it. And then it depends on what software you're using, if you're using software. But it's a separate list for this week of the big things that you're trying to accomplish. And you want those to stand out in a big way. So when you get back from a meeting and you're just kind of frazzled from all the details of the meeting, when you get back to your desk or get back to your list, you can say, okay, what am I trying to accomplish this week? What was I trying to do again? They're right there prominently in front of you. It's almost like having a goal list for the week. That's what those are. That's significant outcomes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you say that one of the main problems with people's to-do lists is misprioritizing, and you write about fresh prioritization. What is that, and how does it help?
Yeah, this is really important, and so here's the deal. If any of your listeners have tried the Outlook task system before, I'm just going to use this as an example. It's true of many other systems as well, but if you look at the Outlook task system out of the box, most people who use it give up on it very quickly because it's configured based on what I call 50-year-old principles of task management that just don't work anymore. But one of those old principles that doesn't work anymore that's built into Outlook, and by the way, when you read the one on the to-do list, I show you how to change those settings so that Outlook does work for you. I mean, that's a big part of the book. But anyway, one of the old principles that is in the out-of-the-box version of Outlook is this. If you don't put a due date on something, it won't get done. Put a due date on everything, and then when the item is late, it turns red and it sits at the top of your list and basically shouts at you, hey, I'm the one you should do next. I'm your oldest, most overdue task. I'm your most important one. And I think that's wrong. I think that your oldest, most important, oldest, deadest, they're often your deadest tasks, are not, so your oldest, most overdue tasks are not your most important tasks. In fact, many of those tasks, their time has passed. You know, that we've moved on. Our priorities change quickly, particularly these days. The company's priorities change, your priorities change, your boss's priorities change. So no, the oldest, deadest tasks, most, red at the top of your list, are not your most important tasks. And so I think there's a new approach needed to prioritizing based on the age of task, and it's the opposite. I say, look, your newer tasks tend to have more energy. The ones you wrote down recently tend to be more relevant to your current priorities. Not the older ones, the newer ones. So it's just a simple way. I use it in the opportunity now section of the list because those tend to build up and hang around over time. I basically say sort on start date, kind of like the way you sort your inbox. You know how the inbox works? The newer emails sit at the top and the older ones get pushed down. Well, that's the way I think tasks should work, too, in the opportunity now list, and that's what fresh prioritization is. It puts the fresher, more lively tasks at the top of your list and pushes down the older ones. Now, you can always promote the older ones back up if any individual one needs to be at the top of the opportunity now list, but you have to actively do that. So it's a really good way to keep control of a big list of tasks.
Would you say that for somebody who's trying to implement this new way of thinking about to-do lists that you're offering, and they might feel overwhelmed a little bit by, this new thinking and the new software, and what would you say to them? Because I do think what you're saying is really important, and yet I could see some people being, maybe confused or overwhelmed about how to put this in their day so that it really works quickly for them.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if they were doubting whether it was worth trying it, I'd ask them to take a look at their current to-do list and ask them how it's going. How useful is it? Particularly their automated one, and I think virtually all the people will agree. Well, I kind of gave up on my automated list; it just got out of control. So first of all, you don't have an option. You need to try
something.
Yeah,
like some people resist change, and I think what you're offering is a much fresher way to think about things than, like you said, what's been available in the past.
Yeah. So my first would be that, hey, you're not using your current one, so how can you say that there's nothing better out there? Because there is. And then I would say, you know, the reason this book is called the one, excuse me, the 1 minute to-do list is because you really can set it up within 1 minute. I mean, chapter one of the book is about 5 pages long or 4 pages long, and it shows you how to create the list in 60 seconds. So there's really no excuse if you're willing to try something new not to try this out, you know. So I think that would be my comeback. It's so simple, and I get so many, you know, tens of emails per day for people saying, oh, you've changed my life. I finally have a to-do list that works. Nothing else has ever worked for me before. This one works. So that's kind of my thinking is just, hey, this one really does work. Give it a shot.
So everybody's using smartphones and tablets these days. Can you use them successfully with this one-minute to-do list?
Yeah, it works really, 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 really well on smartphones and tablets. In fact, that's kind of from the ground up is how I designed the system with those in mind back when, you know, I had smartphones for a long, long, long time. And that was my primary premise is, hey, this has got to work in a mobile environment. So it works really well. You have to, you know, get the right application, and the syncing sometimes is a little thought into how to sync the task between your. And by the way, I do recommend that you sync it with your computer, that you don't just do it completely off your smartphone, because your computer, you do a lot of work, and I think you ought to have your task list also on your computer. So, yeah, in the book, 1 minute to do this book, I show how to do that, and I've got these little videos, that are free links to free videos that show you how to set all that up, and I think you'll like it.
Okay. And do you need certain software to make it work?
Well, if you want to do it on your computer, you can do it as simply as taking, you know, a Microsoft Word document and creating a list on there, and I show you how to do that in the book. And I also show you, if you want to go a little bit beyond that into some dedicated task software, I show you that as well. And you know, there's links in the book that take you to free videos that show you how to set up it on the software. So step by step, it's right there. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of different software you can use. I list a couple ones in the book.
Okay, so what's the one main thing you'd like people to take away from your teachings on how to get control of the to-dos?
Well, just take this urgency zone approach that I described in today's talk and do it. Get the list set up. Spend 1 minute and get the list set up and try it out. And once you get the urgency zone approach in place, you'll find that it completely, you know, removes the stress from your day. You'll relax. You'll feel a sense of relaxation. Ah, it feels so good. And you'll finally be able to focus on your important tasks because you now have urgency under control. So my takeaway is this: get urgency under control so you can focus on your important work with a much more relaxed and better frame of mind. Is this a good time to talk about where they can get more information, or is that a separate question for you?
No, I was actually going to suggest that you mentioned even some videos that they can see, and you know where they can get your book and anything else you're offering that you would like to let them know about.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm doing something that very few authors do. This is book number 6, and all my books have done very well. This book, I'm giving away a free PDF copy of this book. So you don't even have to go buy it. You can download it and read it. And the place to get that is on my website. So my website is michaellinnenberger.com, and I'll spell my last name. It's all one word, Michael Linnenberger. And the last name is spelled Linnenberger. So michaellinnenberger.com. And then you'll see right there on the main page the offer to download the free copy of the book. And then once you get the book, there's links in it that takes you to free videos that show you some of the more detailed things about, you know, if you want to do some software, how to do that and all that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And, I understand you offer workshops and trainings, and
I do. So if you have Outlook and you want to learn how to do this quite completely in Outlook, you'll probably want to take it to the next stage for what I call MYN training, which is just a little more complete training. And I offer that as a webinar, which you can take as an individual. And what I do a lot also is that companies bring me in to teach a department or their whole company, you know, I'll come in and do a live seminar. So both of those are discussed on that same webpage.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. And I would highly recommend this book and all of your other books as well. So thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me here. I appreciate you inviting me. Thanks a lot, Lynn. I hope we can do this again soon.
I will look forward to your next book.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye, Lynn.
Bye-bye.